Mike. All right, I think we're all here. Yes, we are all here. All right, guys. Hey, Mike, how's it going, man?
Good.
All right. So, for normal housekeeping stuff, for anyone that is not a board member, or for anybody that's calling in, you can put it on your phone. If you use *6, that will mute and unmute your audio. We just kindly ask that you mute your audio so there's no problem. So I guess, you know, I'll go with the first item of business that, you know, we've got this probably going to have the most amount, potentially have the most amount of discussion around it, which is the local law. I'm presuming everybody has through it all. Sean and I have spent a lot of time speaking to Sue and Ashley in the assessor's office. While there's a lot of content here, I guess the first and probably the easiest way to start this conversation off tonight is the resident that had missed the deadline. The question is, does the board want to adopt a local law to essentially assist the resident and, you know, obtaining the exemption? Move this to next year, and essentially as a timeline, if you will, for the residents to file, and they missed the deadline, and that there would be no assistance this year. So I guess the question is, do we want to help this year, or do we not? And that will essentially, from there, form the discussion that we will be having going forward.
Jason, honestly, I don't see any harm in just moving forward and allowing the assessor the extra power of allowing the late filing. It's a show of good faith. The woman is very elderly. She's already been getting this exemption for 17 years. Yes, the family screwed up and they missed it, but I don't see a harm in just passing it through.
Fair enough. One thing I should probably actually explain, just so everybody knows.
I had a conversation with Ashley. She reached out to ORPS today. Didn't get receive a phone call until late today. Actually, they called us back after the office was closed. But under, just so everybody knows, under 5A, and this is not only right now and going forward, but under 5A, a resident, property owner, if you will, would have up until grievance day to have this addressed. Under 8A, it would not have that definitive, I guess I'll call it a checks and balance, or that stop. So if we choose to assist the resident, the way the language is written right now is okay. If we want to have this open-ended, which I will admit creates a lot of work for the assessor and also our clerk's office, that's where the 8A and 8A come into play. And that was confirmed by ORPS just late this afternoon from, and like I said, Ashley reached out to me. When did she call me? She called me almost a half hour ago. Any other thoughts on it?
Jason, I have a question. Would this take effect in the current year going forward, or is it too late for this year?
It's the way it's drafted right now. Great question. The way it's drafted right now, yes, it would help this resident this year. The way it's drafted right now would not be kind of open-ended, and Sean, please feel free to step in and correct me if I am incorrect. Under the 8A, that's where someone could come in anytime for the remainder of the year up until the last day of filing, which goes into next year, which again creates a whole bunch of extra backlog and backwork. I think probably that's probably what you're thinking, Kathy, and that would definitely be a direct effect or impact, if you will, to the assessor's office and also our town clerk.
Yes, the last day for under 8A, a renewal application can be accepted up until the last day for paying taxes without incurring interest or penalty, which is March 15. So this year's roll, which is the one at issue with this exemption, it would allow somebody to come in all the way up until March 15th to seek the exemption.
And I would just like to clarify that this resident received the exemption for the 2020 taxes. So those taxes that were paid in 2020, this exemption was on those taxes. This would be affecting the 2021 2021 taxes. That kind of makes sense, Sue? Submit her tentative roll March 1st. A final roll, I believe, is July 1st. And then everything that is on there is for the following year. So this resident received this, to the best of my knowledge, for 2020.
So she could still, if we adopt the law, that would have the end date of the grievance day, she could grieve 2021 prior to the grievance day for 2021, correct?
No. So if the board were to adopt the 5A and 8 provisions, so 5A is the initial application, 8 would be a renewal application, so somebody that didn't send in the paperwork to renew it, then they'd have until grievance day to submit a late application. In this case, the board, local law won't be in effect prior to grievance day. Grievance day is this coming Tuesday, I believe, the 26th. So this law won't be in effect in time for a late application to be accepted by grievance day, which only leaves open the 8A all the way until the last day to pay taxes without penalty or interest. The way, apparently, and I don't know that this is absolutely correct, both Evans and Cheektowaga, I reviewed the way their code reads, and they allow late applications up until grievance day. But they by specifying that, they're not allowing them up until the last day for paying taxes. And the difference is, by allowing it up until grievance day, it's not a huge procedure to amend the roll or correct the roll. Once you get past grievance day, once you get to the point up all the way up until March 15th, then it means correcting the roll and potentially a refund of taxes paid, and it's a lot more significant administratively.
And that would include, let's say someone had come in on the last day to pay taxes without penalty, which is March 15th of that year. So they would have to go see Sue. Sue would have to start do the paperwork for the petition. That would need to go to the county. The county executive would need to sign off on that, give me the exact number of what I am supposed to be collecting in taxes. And by that point, that bill is already late then. Unless that person chose to, let's say, estimate, they could make I could accept a partial payment. And then I would wait for the paperwork to come back from the county. And they will tell me the amount that would be due at that point or what kind of refund would need to be given.
Any other thoughts or opinions?
The one thing I will say about the assessor's office is I know that they're very thorough with the notification process. They go above and beyond what I believe many offices would. I'm concerned about setting a precedent, to enact a local law to be retroactive for really one scenario. And, moving forward, we've kind of opened up open that up for everybody. So what do the deadlines really mean? That's not to say that I'm not sympathetic to, an elderly person that's used to, getting this exemption. I have a hard time making an exception for somebody that's, receive the notification, not only, written, but, there's follow-up with the assessor's office. And I don't want to set a precedent for accepting one. And if, we open Pandora's box and you get a lot of other exemptions or people requesting exemptions, I think it dilutes it. But at the same right, I would like to give the tax assessor the ability to make the decision that if somebody is late filing this and it's before the grievance deadline, that she should be granted the, you know, authority to accept that. So it's kind of, you know, my opinion on it is you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, Sean, is there anything that we could do that, you know, would give this a, you know, an exception in this case, and then establish the rules going forward? Because I believe we only have one of these, and of all the exemptions that exist in the town, that this is the only one that's reached this, you know, this point. So I'm open to, you know, fixing it, granting the authority to the assessor, simplifying the process if there is a situation where there's, you know, an oversight in filing something like this. But, you know, I don't want to rewrite the rules every time, you know, a deadline comes and goes and, you know, and people are upset that they missed it.
The nice thing about this is that in all the years Sue's been in office, this is the first time it's ever come up, and that I guess at the end of the day, it's not even, it's like everything else that's happening at the state level. They're making local government responsible for enforcing or taking action. So these laws are drafted out in Albany, but then the ones responsible, here we all sit tonight, here's a perfect example, that if the local government wants to do this and make the exception for residents, to your exact point, Mike, I agree with you, that we are the ones that are faced with making the decision of how do we obviously be fair, consistent, and treat people equally, but also create proper checks and balances that you're right. And I'll use I think Pandora's box is right. And I think that's a great example. We don't want to open up Pandora's box where this becomes the exception to the rule where everybody just, you open up the floodgates and you're making exceptions for everybody. I agree. I think the way Sean drafted it, I think that's there. But again, this is up for us to discuss. I'm complete. If we need more time, I have absolutely zero problems tabling this. If it's something we want to move forward on tonight, we can. But that's why I gave us the extra time tonight to have this conversation.
Sean, is there a way that we can kill two birds with one stone?
I'm not sure what two birds you want to kill.
Well, you know, we want to be sympathetic to the one single exception that we've had in how many years, and also enact a law that would allow Sue the latitude to make these decisions without board involvement going forward.
Well, if you pass the local law, there's no further board involvement in these decisions. You cannot facilitate the late filing of the renewal application without passing a local law that authorizes the filing of renewal applications up until March 15th. In future cases, were you to pass a local law without the 8-A provisions, which go to March 15th and, you know, limit it just to the grievance day, you would address future situations, but it won't help the current situation.
All right. Thank you.
I'm just thinking that there's got to be a reason why only two or three towns have done this, because they don't want to get involved with superseding state law. They don't want to be responsible. They're not bending over backwards to bend the rules for a one-time or maybe an option to get around it. Because then it's easy next year. Well, I got around it last year, so no big deal. And like you said, now you set something. And why do only two towns do that? Why did those two towns do that? Was there some kind of political agenda? Is it ironic that the two towns that I know of have the same assessor who's involved politically? If you know the situation between Cheektowaga and the two towns that have it have the same assessor, and there was a reason behind it. And I don't know if we should fall into that.
Well, I don't, this is Rich, and I don't think this whole situation has anything to do with politics at all. The simple fact is, I know the person She reached out to me to begin with. She's elderly. She's also taking care of her mother, and she's not getting any help from the other family and stuff. And when it came down to it, she missed the deadline. She went to Sue, and Sue told her pretty much basically, my understanding is that it was out of her hands because she missed the deadline. She went to higher powers and checked over above Sue, and they told her basically, no, it's up to the assessor in your town that she can do something or he can do something, whoever the assessor is. So that's what opened up the Pandora's box, if you want to open up the Pandora's box, because the county or the state or wherever she went to told her that it was up to the local people. Just basically, like Jason said, the county or the state are laying it right back into the town's lap.
I guess one thing I should add, I'm sorry, Rich.
That's okay. I know she went to the assessor, and it wasn't, I think, 5 or 6 days after this deadline was over. It wasn't like she waited and waited and waited, and then all of a sudden. And so, you know, it's up to the town's board decision, but I'm hoping that there's something, like you said, she's been collecting this for years. She's retired. She's set on a fixed income. I truly believe this would be a financial hardship for this woman if we don't do anything.
So I have not done a complete survey of all the towns, what laws they have on the books. While we were just on this call, I looked at Amherst's code. They actually allow all the way through the March 15th deadline for good cause. So Amherst law, the largest town in, I guess, upstate New York, they allow the maximum extent of the discretion under the real property tax law. I don't know other towns what they've done or not.
I don't have a problem giving the assessor the ability to do that, because you're talking about people 65 years of age and over in this case, and things happen. I mean, that's the thing. That's the age where you can have medical issues. Your spouse could have medical issues. These sort of things can pop up. With the notifications that went out by the assessor's office, I don't think that's the case here, but I'm also sympathetic to, you know, folks 65 years and older. If we enact this local law this evening, it's not going to help the situation, though. Do I understand that correct? Sean?
If you enact this local law, it will help this situation, because it will, as drafted, the law allows the assessor the maximum extent of discretion to accept late applications. So in this case, the renewal application could be accepted through March 15th, because you're including the 8-A provisions if you pass the local law as it's currently drafted.
Okay.
So that would mean March 15th of the following year, then, because this exemption would be for 2021. So this, it would be going until March 15th of 2021, then. Is that correct?
Right.
So if we're looking at the local law, and it would help the person now and future, it would allow our assessor discretion, realizing that we've only had one that has been that needed it. So maybe future state would only be one that might need it in the future. Now, my experience has been, you may have someone fantastic in a position, they decide to move on, and now the next person isn't as up to par, and you have created something where that person can't keep up. So if we could put in the local law that when, you know, the assessor's office, I don't know, changes roles or something, that this be renewed, or we revise it every year? Can we do that?
I don't think you can do it based on the individual holding office. It's just the office itself would have the power. I mean, you can repeal a local law. It's not, you know, that's not impossible. But, you know, these types of things, once you've granted them, you know, for example, imagine the outcry if you were to repeal the exemption to begin with.
Yeah.
Or look at veterans exemptions or Cold War exemptions that we all put in, you know, a couple of years ago. Others.
That said, you know, I will also just note again that the through March 15th requires good cause shown, which they define as requiring a physician's note, essentially saying the person couldn't file. So it's not as if everyone who, for no good reason, makes a mistake would be able to file through the 15th.
I'm good with the local law.
I'm good with it, but my question is, I guess, is this something that has to be acted on, has to be done, like, at a certain point of time? Does it have to be done, like, at this meeting, or can we mull it over, I guess?
I don't see any harm in mulling it over. So there's a, if you wanted to move quickly to, you know, set this issue to bed for the resident that has an issue, you could schedule the public hearing tonight and, you know, hold the hearing and potentially pass the local law at the next meeting. However, if the local law is going to extend the deadline to March 15th and it's too late to pass it before grievance day, I don't know that it makes a big difference whether you do it now or in a month.
Can we table then so we can maybe mull it over? I was going to choose those words too.
Yes, the board can table it.
Did she file this before the March 15th date already?
So the confusion, if you take a look at the emails, the confusion comes up, and this is where Senator Galvin's, you know, Kelly was originally contacted, then it was Senator Galvin that was brought in. Contacted Erie County, New York State, an elder law attorney, which I'm not even going to go down that path, but you know, this resident has spent, it's actually the properties, let's put this completely in, properties owner, power of attorney, which is her daughter, was originally working on this. That is who Rich was speaking of. From there, then it became the granddaughter, because the power of attorney doesn't understand any of this. She, you know, she took this on to help out her mother, doesn't even understand what's going on, thought it was the STAR exemption. Come to find out, it's this RP-467 documentation that was initially needed, and then all of a sudden, red flags come, like, we missed this. That ship set sail. That's what brought us here today, is because she says, we didn't know. I don't think they're trying to pull a fast one. I don't think this is political. I don't. The amount of emails and phone calls that have been made, if it was political, we now have county, state officials, not only just with Senator Galvin's office, but other people at New York State that this resident has reached out to. There's a form, and Sean and I were talking about it. It's sitting on my desk. It's an RT-557 document. And essentially, that's to file a grievance. So they're basically trying to do anything they can to try to help out the mother/grandmother of the Boston property owner. And that's where we're at. I mean, and Rich said it best. I mean, they're on a fixed income. The last time I saw the document, I believe the income was like $7,000 a year for income. And it's an elderly person.
If all those forces are in play, state, county, you know, and we have the ability to enact the local law this evening, and this does give the assessor the ability to make these decisions outside of board influence, I would support the local law.
just to be clear, you're just scheduling a public hearing for the local law. You would vote on adoption at the next meeting.
No, I understand.
And that also would give the assessor time to contact anybody or, you know, come to the public hearing and discuss if she wanted to.
Okay, thanks, Sean.
Right, and then, I mean, even after the public hearing, we could even table it then, too, for further consideration. No different than any other public hearing that we've been through where we take the residents' feedback, and that's what we've all, I guess I'll say, championed ourselves, that we take that feedback to heart, and we can always table it and go back to the drawing board if needed.
I'm good with scheduling the public hearing.
I'm in agreement with that as well.
Ditto.
Me too.
All right. I'm glad I gave us time. That was a half hour. So
I just wanted to add something also, that please, when this the granddaughter or the daughter of this resident, when she had called all of the entities, because I was one of them, she presented it as a star exemption. So a lot of time was put in by everyone that she had called, but it was misrepresented. It was not STAR. It was a low-income senior exemption. I just, you know, wanted to make that clear, because I know there was a lot of people that got involved in this. There are different rules.
And I think, James, and you're right, Sandra. You're correct 100%, and that's why Jason explained it. That because the granddaughter did not know what she was going, because when she presented it to me, it was a STAR program, and it wasn't. It was a low income that from the mother. And so that everybody that was involved, she didn't know what she was doing. She had no idea what she was doing.
Okay, all right. Anything else on this topic for tonight? All right. So, with no comment, I'll move on. For all the board stuff, probably the two biggest things that we have on you know, outside of the resolution, well, somebody wants to bring anything up on the resolutions, would be our two holiday events. You probably saw Eden Corn Festival was canceled today. There's a discussion that the Erie County Fair is in jeopardy of not going on this year. We'll see how that shakes out. But anyway, the current guidelines from, and the governor stated today that essentially, I'll even tie in the religious gatherings just today. Religious gatherings can happen. However, it has to be 10 people or less. Participants have to wear masks, the proper social distancing measures, etc. But essentially, people cannot be allowed to congregate. So that's where a lot of municipalities have canceled all sports. Sports, actually, on today's state call, that is any baseball, soccer, basketball, tennis is surprisingly allowed. We don't have clarification from Empire State Development. Again, this is one of those stories you can't make up why certain things are acceptable and they're not, but this is the guidance coming from the state. And again, what the state is essentially doing to all of us board members and our code enforcement officers, we're the ones that are responsible to enforce all of this. So should we receive a phone call, or there's a business that did not fill out their documentation and for their startup and how they're going to protect the health, safety, and welfare of any of their patrons, upon it's not required that they file it, but on the flip side of the coin, if under inspection, if they don't have it, the business could potentially be shut down. So anyway, Memorial Day, I know we talked about some ideas for Memorial Day. I don't know if anybody had any other ideas. I know Allison sent out a couple emails. You know, traditionally this has always been a town, you know, Memorial Day has always been a town clerk function and event. And I know Sandy has kind of taken the position that, you know, now that the governor's changed his tune, you know, just a few days before the actual I guess I'll call it Memorial Day event, he's stating that there can be parades, I don't know, because that completely goes against our, you know, here we go right down the path of that goes against everything that has been originally communicated to us. So this stuff is just changing on a day-by-day basis. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but anyway, Memorial Day, we cannot have our traditional event. Independence Day, I don't see that happening either, because we won't be out of the weeds yet on into phase four. Phase four, kind of the catchphrase is phase four is the fun phase, because that's when we start to get our actual lives back where we can go do fun things. So anyway, I don't know if anybody has any questions, comments, ideas. The one idea was the Ring of Remembrance that was brought up by the mayor over in Depew. Quite a few municipalities and churches are going to do that. Not that we have to do this, but I'm certainly open to, if we can find maybe a veteran or so, go to the memorial that we've always held that event at and have less than 10 people socially distancing. We want to do something along those lines. I'll open up the floodgates on that one.
Initially, I wanted to do a procession from the 219 down to the Boston Hotel parking lot, and I spoke with Tom at the barracks, and based on the safety, some of the things that I learned, we were on the phone probably close to an hour, and the things I learned on that call on people driving right now is very alarming to me, and it certainly echoed a lot of what I'm seeing, you know, living on Boston State Road. You know, the number of people exceeding the speed limit and driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol is through the roof. You know, my initial idea was to kind of do it on the, you know, on the down low, to organize some trucks to carry the flags from one end of town to the other and have people gather along the side of the road. But based on, you know, Trooper Tom's assessment of that safety, I don't want anybody sitting on the side of the road. And so I've decided that is not a type of event I wish to pursue, you know, as a private resident. I'm not going to jeopardize the safety of others, you know, in light of some of that information. It was quite alarming. So, especially, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend, you get that, you know, tenfold usually, you know, versus the normal days. So, you know, they've got people exceeding the speed limit three times over, and, you know, when they, you know, fleeing the police, you know, engaging the police physically, it's problematic. So, you know, I'm open to whatever. I certainly don't want to see the day go unrecognized. That was my big thing, and in my worldview, you know, this is as serious as it really is. It's a matter of washing your hands and doing the things that you need to do to be responsible. And I don't think that you can, you know, just exist. I'd rather live and be smart about how I'm living. You know, that said, you can certainly do a ceremony. You can certainly do something to recognize the day and still live within the scope and the boundaries set forth by the governor. That's my opinion.
I don't disagree, Mike. I've had this argument many a times with people that why is it that any of us on this call right now can walk into a Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, etc., but yet there's certain things that we can't do. I won't get on my soapbox about that right now, but I agree with you. I struggle with some of these things, but that's the guidance. And one of the things that actually did come out today is, even when it comes to whether it's the Memorial Day parade that the governor has, if you will, given his blessing to now, any parades that do happen, because they're on today's call, they are acknowledging obviously graduations, birthdays coming up for the summer, people want to get outside. They said the vehicles can't stop, nor can you have people congregate by the road. So here's a whole other layer that just came out today by a guidance from Empire State Development that, again, anybody wants to jump on with these calls with me, you will see that you all of us on this call can plan, and 2 to 3 days later, it's just like 52 car pickup again. You get a different direction in some cases, or clarified guidance where, kind of like the document that I sent to you for just town hall reopening plan, we have to have a reopening plan on how we're going to protect employees, making sure things are clean, and it's a lot. It really is. Crazy world we're in.
I just wanted to add, with that, of course, it was disappointing not being able to plan our normal parade and our service that we would have here at the town hall for Memorial Day. But, you know, of course, this has been, I contacted all of the entities that would be involved in this. And of course, they knew that there was not going to be the normal circumstances that we have done in the past. But, you know, with that being said, I just wanted to recognize what has been done here in town already. The flags have been put out on Boston State Road, the American flags, along with every armed services, is out there. Now the property is absolutely beautiful. In the back, all of the mulch has been put down, the flowers are there, the flags are in place. I met with two of the former members of our VFW, because we no longer have our VFW post here in Boston. I met with the former commander, David Schenck, and also Guy Blodgett, right before the meeting tonight, and they had placed the wreaths and the flags in the back of the town property at the David Finger Memorial. And then also, then, because I needed to come to the meeting, David had sent some pictures along of the Boston Commons and the cemeteries. So that can go on for the website. So I guess, you know, for me, the plus side of this is, even though we are not in normal times, these beautiful things that still happen with honoring men and women that have given their lives for us so we can be here and live in this free country, these things are still going on with the flags and the wreaths. And I think if there's any positive, you know, part of this to be a beautiful day, and just come to the back of the town hall and take a walk back there, and, you know, look up at the flag, and you'll see the importance of this holiday, and that's truly what it is. And I think it's great that the governor at least has the where there 10 people can gather, that if we chose to, then at least we can have a campfire with family members on Memorial Day. So that to me is a bonus, and I'm hoping that that's what part of that order meant of gathering of 10 people. So that's all I have.
All right. So I say we probably team up with Sandy then and try to come up with something to put together. I know Allison had reached out for videos if people want to do videos, or, you know, all of us, we can just meet up at some point on Monday and maybe just do a Facebook live stream. Maybe we can get one of our local veterans to come down along with us. Obviously, all the social, I have to go use the proper language and say that we have to do social distancing and masks, etc. But I am open to any ideas that we come up with to honor our veterans, because I can tell you that I have three people in my family that fall into that criteria, and it's that's always something that I hold near and dear in my heart. So Independence Day, Matt Shaw did state that obviously a lot of towns are canceling fireworks. One of the original plans for fireworks was that he would coordinate with a local radio station to go ahead and coordinate music to be played over a radio station, and then have all the fireworks start off at the same time, be choreographed to music. That was originally the plan, and then now here we are, May 20th, still just getting into phase one, and with social distancing, their current guidelines, we're just not going to be ready for it. I wish I could say otherwise, but I don't know how we can attain any of those metrics or make sure that, you know, people are not gathering. We have to enforce masks, all those other things. Plus, then we also get into the aspect of public restrooms. And right now, public restrooms are, if they are open, and I will use the keyword if, whether it's a port-a-john or public restroom, the town has to come up with a way to ensure that they will be clean. So essentially, if I were to walk into a bathroom and someone else was to walk in behind me and feel that it's not being cleaned or cleanliness, or the cleanliness is not being attained, we could potentially get into trouble. So here we go down this ugly road again, where many municipalities are saying it's not worth the risk, and they don't have it's hard enough to find cleaning product, let alone have a staff member there to constantly clean it. So I don't want to do this any more than anybody else. I think I'm open to a discussion, but I think the move on this is, like, unfortunately follow other municipalities and cancel fireworks. Many already have. We can string it out longer if you want. We can table this. I'm comfortable doing that as well. Phase four theoretically will be late June, early July at the earliest, if you follow the kind of like that 2 week lead time that the governor's been following. But again, everything we're talking about today, if our numbers happen to tick up for whatever reason, God forbid, we're going out of phase one right back to square one again, where we have to have 2 weeks of solid data before we get back into phase one. So that's why many municipalities are just saying no Independence Day and trying to schedule something for around, again, ideas out there to honor on September 11th. I don't know if that's the right time, but September 11th is an opportunity. They say Labor Day weekend. That's another one. Obviously, it's the last big weekend, if you will, to at the end of the summer. A lot of people are looking at Labor Day as weekend as basically a 4th of July type weekend. Hopefully, we're out of the weeds. We can actually enjoy our lives and hang out with friends and family and maybe have some fun in our lives. So,
I think we should just postpone. I don't think that we should cancel. I mean, I understand canceling the Memorial Day parade and service. I mean, that's this weekend. But I'm in favor of tabling it. And instead of, you know, canceling it, you know, maybe the wording should be rescheduled for 4th of July. Especially because we have, you know, flexibility. I mean, our pyrotechnic folks are top notch. So, you know, I'm more in favor of saying let's you know, postpone and then set the date at a later time. I don't think we need to do anything with 4th of July tonight.
Well, that's I guess that's the point. So 4th of July is 4th of July weekend. So if we're postponed, we're effectively canceled. In the term that we're postponing it, that'd be another event.
Right, we still have two more board meetings, and that's, you know, that's another 3 weeks to our next board meeting. You know, we still have time to do that at that point.
But I'm going on to phase four. Phase four will not be here in time for Independence Day. In Independence Day, if you look at it, it's recreation, you know, all the other congregations where we're allowed to do these things. That's phase four.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
We cancel 4th of July, which is mainly fireworks and the music, right? And we propose that we may be able to perform that on Labor Day. My concern is the congregation that might happen if we have fireworks, if there's an accident, either with the fireworks display or someone else, then we put the responders at risk when we may have just, we could have prevented that.
Yeah. I'm open. I mean, the Hamburg Sun has already said that we're, you know, based off of what I mentioned at the last meeting, maybe I let the cat out of the bag, but, you know, they already said that we were looking at doing, you know, carrying that event out to later in the year. Again, that was no definitive answer. I'm open. I'm open to ideas. I've dealt with so much of this. We're a board. I am not the only person that has a voice here. Anybody else? Mike wants to table it. Anybody else? Oh, come on. Don't be shy.
I like Jen's idea of, obviously, at this point, July 4th looks like it's probably not going to happen, so canceling it or postponing it, however you want to word it, and then plan on Labor Day being our next target date.
It's just, it's so, It's so hard to say cancel it when you have over a month or 6 weeks away. You almost feel like you're jumping the gun a little, but you understand the situation. But if there's any way we could just, do we have to have it on the, I mean, do we have to even just table the cancellation? And I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on it.
I hear you, Kathy. Trust me. If you want to hear it come out of my head, I don't want to cancel. I really don't. But I don't see it happening. Based on, again, the pause order, the calendar, the days on the calendar don't line up. And again, anything can happen. Even if, so assuming utopia, days on the calendar, we do not come out of this in enough time. And then even with the guidance, we all fall under the, if you will, we fall under this bucket where we have to ensure that any guidelines that are in place at that point, they all have to be followed. So we all know there's 200-300 people there. If somebody's not wearing a mask, I mean, I'm not belittling the situation, but I mean, are we going to have the mask police? Or, you know, how do we make sure bathrooms are clean? There's a lot that goes into this. Unfortunately, it's not just fireworks.
And at this point, most people have been bringing in fireworks from outside the state. So I'm going to assume we're going to have fireworks going off everywhere, not just at a township.
Already had those complaints. You've probably seen them on Facebook as well. Yep. So what would we like to do? Would we like to table it?
I would like to postpone it because of the planning itself. Postpone it and let's look forward to planning the Labor Day. A Labor Day.
So how about this then? If everybody's comfortable, do you want to table the Independence Day tonight? Gives us a little bit more time. I can try to get a hold of Matt Shaw tomorrow just to see what his schedule's like for Labor Day, and then come back to the table at the next board meeting, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good,
Mickey.
I like that.
I really think that's the best course.
I'm bummed. That's fine. I will hopefully have all of you an email tomorrow afternoon or morning, depending how quick I can get a hold of Matt. All right. Other than that, any questions on anything else for under new business for tonight? We got the workday reporting. If everybody got a chance to look through that, that's just for us to audit, prove it, and that gets filed. Item number 5, resolution 2020-34 is for the traffic signal that was the one down in West Tillon where the lamp was bad, and they ended up replacing multiples because they were all at the same time. The resolution 2035 is to repair the streetlight on the 219. We all went down that road where they were out for quite an extensive period of time. The cable basically melted into the ground because of the small underground fire that happened. Item number 5 is resolution 2020-36, which is the repair of the power line to the snack shack. What happened there is the power line that runs parallel to the lion's shelter. We're presuming it's old age, but anyway, whatever happened to it, it snapped, it broke. The snack shack currently does not have power. So that's what we'll get that building back up under power. Resolution, or item number 6, resolution 2020-37, which is an agreement regarding the installation of culvert. That is going to be tabled, just so everybody knows. The resident followed back up with Sean and did not care to go down the path of the agreement that was proposed, and is going to take it upon himself to handle, basically purchase the culvert and do it himself, after all. So after all of Sean's work, it was essentially for naught, but at least we have the documentation should they want to come back to the table, and it's there. So we'll table number 6 tonight. 7 and 8, we certainly just covered all of that. Special permit number 9, that is just a motion. Jen, I was going to ask you to do this one if you don't mind, just because it goes to the planning board. But anyway, this will be a motion to refer this special permit application to the planning board for their review and direction. And then last but not least, number 10, we'll table that. I'm sorry. 10, we are scheduling the public hearing.
And I think that is all I have. I got a bunch of stuff to, a few little things to report on the board report. But just so you all hear it before the board meeting, in case anybody has any questions, Jen and I were on a conference call, or web call, I keep calling conference calls, web call with Mark Mayerhofer, who's the government representative that works with the town. And we have a resident down on, in the southwest location, if you're looking at the map, southwest location, Enser Road in town, and they want Time Warner Cable. It's one of the very few areas that does not have high-speed internet in today's world. In the past 5 years, between Mark and I working on some things, the town actually has coverage over three quarters coverage. There's very few areas that do not have internet, but this is one of the areas. It's expensive in the fact that there are a lot of tree branches that need to be trimmed and cut, etc. This resident, especially with the pandemic, now needs to work from home. Her kids are working from home. Any of us on this call tonight, you know, that have kids that are working from home, or those of us that are working from home, know how important the internet is, and she feels it should be essential in this day and age. So Jen and I spoke to Mark. He gave us some overlays of where coverage was and was not. He was going to go back to the drawing board with their build team to see if he can get the internet down in that area for all of those residents and see what it would cost. There's no definite commitment. Unfortunately, as a town, we don't have a lot of leverage. Obviously, we have a franchise lease agreement, but that past lease agreement had a build-out of 120 homes, which we'll never know where they are. That's technically intellectual property, and the only way we will be ever provided that information is if we sign off on a non-disclosure agreement, which, as elected officials, we can't do because everything we do is subject to open meetings law. So with that being said, we have one resident. She seems to be pretty willing to work with us. She was very cordial with Jen and I, and Mark was a big help to Jen and I. And hopefully we can get some internet down there. But that is something that hopefully we can get up and going. But anyway, I don't know if anybody else has anything they want to talk about before we kick off the meeting.
Jason, I'll be providing you some suggestions, edits to the reopening plan tomorrow.
Sure.
Do you want me to forward to everyone? Or?
Sure, please do. Yeah, okay. Yeah, just hit the wall, please do, because that's something we're all going to have to essentially adhere to. I had Ellie and I were on a web conference this morning with Hurwitz and Fine discussing, let's say if there was an employee that did not want to come back to work because they're receiving the additional, you know, not only are they potentially out of work, but they may or may not be receiving that $600. How does that work out? So there's a whole lot of guidance coming out here. There's a lot of legalese and HR that is going to be rolling out of this pandemic. One of the other big things, just so you all hear it now, and any of the callers that are on, I know there's two different callers, they're not identified. I know one's Rich, but one of the big things, and I struggle with this one, but this is the guidance coming from multiple attorneys. Obviously, Sean's on this, so he can hear it as well. Maybe he has some recommendations, but anyways, if somebody decides to go on vacation, they leave our area and they leave the state. When upon returning, there is a relatively strong opinion that they are to self-quarantine if it's during this pause order that's across the state. And the reason being is that if you are at a hotel or you go to, let's say, down to Florida, I have friends who have gone down to Florida, and you can go out right now and eat dinner at a restaurant like the good old days. What's to say that you didn't contract the virus? And then there's the incubation period that you take into account, and then you potentially become asymptomatic, and you go right back to all the discussions that were starting to happen 10 weeks ago. So one of the guidances that is currently coming out, it's not set in stone, but just you all hear it up front and hear from me, is that essentially anybody that goes on vacation, they quarantine for 14 days. And that would be basically personal time or personal time to be used to do that PTO, is what they're saying. If they come down sick, then you follow the sick policy guidelines. If they contract the virus, protection side of it. A fun HR situation.
So anyway, we have, at where I work, we've instituted mandated protections. And we had one person, just one out of 300 something, that had said, I am not going to wear a mask and I am not going to go through the temperature scanning. And he said this to the union president and to the plant manager, and they told him, okay, you need to leave today and think about this. He did not return today. If he refused completely, he would be fired, because that is our requirements to protect not only yourself, but your coworkers. That is what we are following. We have released a daily self-attestment saying that we have not traveled internationally. We've released it so it allows travel state to state. But then there's the contact tracing portion where we see if you can stay home. If you can, great. If not, then we start looking at some of the other precautions and protocols. But I can outline that and forward it to y'all.
Yeah. Interesting times.
Jason, I have a question regarding the special permit application for the horse barn. So if you look at the zoning on that, you know, you have a minimum of 4 acres. There's just under 8. The number of horses permitted is 5, except the number of horses permitted may be increased by 1 for each additional acre of lot in excess of 4 acres. So technically she would be able to have 8. No stable shall be located closer than 100 feet to the front lot line and shall be 100 feet from any property line. It appears that it might be a bit closer on the, I guess, maybe the west lot line as far as the map reads, but there's 112 feet on the right lot line. And I don't, we're going to refer this to the planning board, I guess, for what reason?
So under our code, section 123-174, subsection A, provides that prior to a town board conducting a public hearing on the issuance of a special use permit application, shall be referred to the town planning board for review and recommendation.
Okay. All right.
But no, there's your planning board expertise coming in. Good job.
Well, I was on the planning board, I was never in favor of holding up projects that, you know, just for the sake of the policy and the procedure of, if you knew that it met all the guidelines, there was no reason to carry it through the process if you knew that it was going to meet the process. That's my point. So.
Yep, the sure. Planning board has revised, as well as our planning consultant, and our town attorney have helped revise, so some things move smoother with less judicial oversight. But thank you, Mike.
All right. Probably like 45 seconds before 7:30. Anything else we want to talk about or go over?
I did like the idea of the remembrance videos until I heard myself talk and I saw myself on screen. So please thank Ellison for that.
No problem. No problem.
When is the deadline?
I think, I don't have that in front of me. I want to say...
I think it was today.
Today at 4, Mike.
Yeah, I want to say it was like today or tomorrow. When I see Allison tomorrow, I can. If you need more time, I'll talk to Allison. That.
All right, maybe she'll grant me an extension.
Right. An exception. Sounds good. All right. Well, it's 7:30, so I'll jump over here, start recording our meeting, and.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right, so 7:30, Wednesday, May 20th, and I will call the town board meeting to order.
Councilwoman Selby?
Present.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Present.
Supervisor Keating?
Present.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin?
Present.
Councilwoman Martin, Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. All right, so tonight we don't have any other preliminary matters. So we'll move on to regular business. Item number one under regular business is the correction and adoption of the minutes for the May 6, 2020 meeting. Councilman Cardichini, do you mind taking those? Oh, I think you're on mute, Mike. I see you talking, but...
New format. Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I had the opportunity to review the minutes from our May 6, 2020 board meeting, and I don't see any changes that need to be made, so I make a motion we accept them as written.
I have Councilman Lukacik seconded that.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Item number two under regular business is a consideration of all fund bills. Councilwoman Martin, do you mind taking those?
If my dog will be quiet. I had an opportunity to look through the fund bills, and I make a motion to accept the payment of $143,397.05 to take care of the fund bills.
And I will second, because that's exactly what I have.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardichini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
All right. Moving on to item number three tonight, correspondence. So we've got a few pieces of correspondence tonight. We have the Erie County Water Authority annual water quality report. Say that a few times fast. That has been received and filed with the town. The April 2020 income statement, that has also been received and filed. And I hope everybody had a fun time reading the MS4 annual reports. That is a small War and Peace, but that has been received and filed. And that is out on the town website for public viewing. It is in a draft form, and that will need to be approved at a later date. So moving on to item number four, new business. The town, I don't believe when I spoke to the town clerk last, we didn't receive any correspondence, but I do see a couple people on the call. I will pause and open up the floor for any comment that anybody would like to, any of the public would like to make. Okay, with no comment, I will close the floor. Moving in right along, item number two under new business, we have resolution 2020-33, which is the workday reporting. Councilwoman Martin, do you mind taking that item?
No, Supervisor Keating, thank you. Resolution number 2020-33 is a standard workday reporting resolution, whereas the New York State and local retirement system requires the adoption of a resolution regarding the standard workdays for elected and appointed town officials. The form annexed attached as Exhibit A is prescribed by the New York State and local retirement system, and we are resolved as the town of Boston hereby adopting the standard workday and reporting resolution attached. The town clerk is required to post this resolution on the town website for 30 days, and within that 15 days after the 30-day posting period ends, after filling in the blanks for Social Security numbers,
standard workday reporting resolution be filed with the Office of the State Comptroller. I make a resolution. I suggest to approve this resolution, number 2020-33.
I second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacs?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes, and I think the supervisor is doing that just so he can hear Thor bark.
Motion carried.
All right, item number three under new business tonight, we have resolution 2020-34, which is the replacement of traffic signal at the intersection of Boston State Road and West Tillen Road. Councilwoman Lukacs, do you mind taking that?
Absolutely. The resolution number 2020-34 is the replacement of traffic signal at our intersection of Boston State Road and West Tillen because it was failing and required replacement. The time and material, it, total cost is for $2,520. Because of the nature of work, it was not possible to secure three quotes. But this would otherwise it would be required as the town's procurement policy. I suggest we pass resolution number 2020-34 that authorizes the town board a payment of $2,520 to Concrete Applied Technologies Corp for the replacement of the traffic signal light at the intersection of Boston State Road and West Tillen Road.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacs?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number four tonight under new business, we have resolution 2020-35, which is the repair of the streetlights near the 219 underpass. Councilwoman Sully, do you mind taking that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I would like to make a motion to pass the resolution 2020-35 for the electrical work performed by Electrical Service Systems and Installation, one-time material basis cost of $4,152.92. And also because of the nature of the work, it was not possible to secure three quotes for this work. So I would like to make a motion to pass this resolution 2020-35.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacs?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number five under new business, we have resolution 2020-36, which is the repair of the power line to the Snack Shack. Councilman Cardicchini, do you mind taking that item?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. The electrical power line to the Snack Shack serving the Boston Town Park is not functioning, needs to be repaired. We received three quotes for the necessary work, and we received one back from CIR Electrical, submitted a quote in the amount of $2,000 to perform the work. I make a motion that we accept 2020-36.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacs?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number six tonight is resolution 2020-37, which is an agreement regarding the installation of a culvert. Upon our recent conversation with the municipal attorney, And the resident, we are going to table this resolution. The resident does not want to, was not in agreement with the agreement that was provided to them, I guess I'll say, and so we will table this potentially to a further date if it's ever, if ever comes up again. So I would like to make a motion to table resolution 2020-37.
I second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, item number 7 under new business, we have the cancellation of the annual Memorial Day parade and service. I'll take this item. So due to the current COVID situation, coronavirus situation that we're in, the town board and I, we've discussed the Memorial Day parade with the current pause order in effect. And to adhere to the social distancing guidelines, unfortunately, and with deep regret, we have to cancel the Memorial Day parade and service. But the town does intend to hold a smaller service. So I guess I would like to make a motion to formally cancel the traditional Memorial Day parade and service for the town of Boston.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Unfortunately, yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin? Councilwoman Martin?
Sorry, my phone was doing stuff. Yes.
Okay, thank you. Motion carried.
I thought you were going to blame Thor again.
No, I was plugging in because my phone's dying and then it like got all pixelated.
All right. So item number 8 on our new business tonight is we headed down for the cancellation of the annual Independence Day celebration. We're going to table this for tonight. We had some discussion during our work session tonight. And, you know, the board is hoping that we'll see what phase we're in, but we're going to table this for a little bit longer and with hopes that we can potentially do something. So I'd like to make a motion, not that we really have to, but make a motion to table item number 8, which is the cancellation of the annual Independence Day celebration.
Second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, moving on to item number 9, which is a special permit application for 7199 Lower East Hill Road. I'll move that on to Councilwoman Lukacik.
Thank you, Mr. Supervisor. Beverly Marcy, as the supervisor had stated, 7199 Lower East Hill has submitted a special use permit to build a horse barn. This is going to be needed to be referred to our planning board. Their next meeting is actually this coming Tuesday, the 26th. However, I think it's too soon to schedule that. It'll most likely then be on the June 9th meeting agenda. Thank you.
I'll second that.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, that is all we have for new business tonight. We have no old business, so we will move right into reports and presentations. Highway Superintendent, are you on at all tonight?
Did you want to address the number 10, local law 2? That's
Oh, yeah, you know what, I'm sorry. Thank you. That's my fault. Yep, so, yes, thank you. So item number 10 under new business, jeepers, right there. Item number 10, we need to schedule a public hearing for 2020 local law number 2. You know, Councilwoman Lukacek, do you want to take that item to schedule the public hearing?
Okay. The 2020 local law intro number 2. We have discussed this at length earlier this evening and through emails. I believe I make a suggestion that we table 2020 local law intro number 1 for more discussion to make sure that we're answering to not only our assessor as well as our town clerk and our residents. So I want to make sure that we get this right. I make a motion that we table 2020 local law intro number 2. Or number 1, I'm sorry.
Tonight's actually just to schedule the public hearing. So I thought we were...
Oh, thank goodness. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Short-term memory issue?
Okay, I skipped right over it, so my fault.
I make a motion that we schedule the public hearing related to 2020 local law number 1.
I'll second.
Okay, and there was the public hearing notice that was there. That would be for June 3rd at 7:30. Do you see that, Jen? It was addition.
Yep.
Okay, I think that was the page that blew away.
Okay.
You don't have it?
I do not. Sorry. I'm having issues with the wind.
Do you want me to read it, Jason?
I can read it.
What? Go ahead.
Kelly, you want to read it or you want me to?
I'll read it.
Okay.
Okay, so notice of public hearing. A public hearing shall be held by the Town Board of the Town of Boston on June 3rd, 2020 at 7:30 p.m. to be conducted remotely through the use of telephone conference pursuant to Governor Cuomo's Executive Order 202.15 as extended by Executive Order 202.28 to hear all interested parties on a proposed local law entitled A Local Law Amending Chapter 111 of the Town Code of the Town of Boston entitled Taxation to permit filing of aged persons exemptions with the assessor after the appropriate taxable status date pursuant to Section 467 of the New York State Real Property Tax Law. All parties in attendance through the telephone conference will be permitted an opportunity to speak on behalf of or in opposition to said proposed local law or any part thereof, and any written comments on the proposed local law received in the town clerk's office by 4 p.m. on June 3rd, 2020 will be read aloud during the public hearing. Copies of the proposed law sponsored by Supervisor Keating and it is available on the Town of Boston website, www.townofboston.com, or by contacting the town clerk's office Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. This is dated May 20th, 2020, will be published in the Hamburg Sun on May 22nd, 2020 by order of the town board, Sandra Quinlan, town clerk.
Okay, so I'm sorry.
Okay. You can't second your own motion.
Did Jen make the motion before to schedule the public hearing?
She did, and then she didn't have the public hearing to read. So it was technically Jennifer's motion. Kelly was kind enough to read the public hearing notification. And I seconded the motion.
Okay. Thank you. Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Cardicchini?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacek?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, now we're done with new business. My apologies again. No old business. That being said, Councilwoman Selby, do you have anything at all tonight?
I have no report tonight.
Okay.
Except...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, except I'm very saddened by the course of events that are occurring in our town, the cancellation of these events. It's very heartbreaking. And it really hit when Sandy was talking about all the good things that were happening and getting a little emotional there, Sandy. He kind of had us all going. So I think we have to concentrate on the good if we can. So thanks for sharing that information, Sandy. It's really a great idea to take a walk in our beautiful park.
All right, Councilman Carter Keating.
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. I will echo Councilwoman Selby's sentiment, and I was going to thank Sandy for, she's always been the point person for the Memorial Day celebrations as an elected, and the flags and everything. I wanted to thank the parks. I think it's great that we're going to take a small step and do what we can right now. That was really been a great honor, as you know, to be a part of that parade and celebration event the last couple years. And you know, it would have been really hard this year because we lost Len Harris, which you know a lot of us were close with. I know he had a lot of respect for you know the people, you know, and we had a lot of respect for him and certainly his service. And I also wanted to take a moment to, you know, reflect on Don Buckley's passing. I mean, he's been a fabric of our community for a long time. He's battled cancer for a long time. And, you know, he passed away recently. And I'd like to have a moment of silence for Don. I know, you know, he really gave everything in everything that he did. And, at this time, if you join me in a moment of silence for Don, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. On to a happier note, I do think that, you know, I see the road crews out working every day, doing what they need to do. Gotten some positive feedback from some of the residents, and it's been you know great to see that as well. Jason, I wanted to end with just a question because it was, I think I speak for all of us when I say that it was a real honor to you know be a part of the food drive, the food pickup that we had. And do we have any other dates that we're going to be doing that? I would certainly like to be a part of it if so.
No, I can always ask. Well, here's what's going on. Anybody that's on the wonderful world of social media in today's environment, the support that Feed More Western New York has received is almost immense, to say the least. Town of Boston is basically going to partner with Colden. Basically, what it boils down to is the amount of trucks / volunteers. Colden has always had, well, they were the ones that kind of always had a framework in place with Food Bread of Life Outreach. The next mobile food pantry is going to be May 28th. I had that in my report for tonight. So Feed More of Western New York, while they would love to do the town thing, that was kind of like a, you know, all those intake sheets that we took in, that's how they then kind of figured out their territories where they wanted to better focus their resources. So anyway, that's what Tara Ellis, who's the president of Feed More Western New York, came back to us. So I told her that, you know, we've always been very supportive of the Bread of Life Outreach anyway. And Colden has these food drives twice a month. And again, the next one is on May 28th over in Colden. So anybody that wants to volunteer, I would suggest probably reaching out to the Bread of Life Outreach. And Mike, you know Pat just as well as I do. Feel free to reach out to her and I'm sure they'll certainly welcome an extra set of hands if they need them. That's the one that's the one challenge here. A lot of people want to help, but then we get into the, you know, we now layer on top of this whole social media, social distancing guidelines, wearing masks, et cetera. There's only so many people that can volunteer. So please reach out to Pat, and I'm sure she can set you up on one. So, and that's over at the Colgan Fire Department for the location. Feed More of Western New York is going to be creating some flyers for us. It was just 2 days ago that Tara had reached out. She's hoping to have flyers over to the town hall in the next, hopefully, couple of days. But they're putting together a flyer that, we can put out on our website. And then probably I suggest that we, to get a few of them, that we can print them off. So we can put them up at Tops. We can put them up at even like the laundromats and other areas so that those families in need that are probably utilizing those services within our community to begin with, that'd be a great place for them to hopefully see that that is a service that's provided to them. So May 28th, next day. Unfortunately, nothing in our parking lot anymore, at least for now.
Hey, that's, you know, it's coordinated efforts and, you know, service is service. So thanks for the info.
You bet. No problem. Moving right along, Councilwoman Lukacek, you have anything at all tonight?
I just want to let everyone know that we are having a planning board meeting this coming Tuesday, the 26th, to revise and update and move forward on some discussions we had in the prior meeting. Thanks. That's all I have.
Great. Thank you. And Councilwoman Martin, you have anything at all tonight?
Thank you. Yep, thank you, Supervisor Keating. On a happier note, happy birthday to Councilwoman Selby. Oh. So that's, oh. Yeah. She didn't tell anybody.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
And secondly, after Mike mentioned Don Buckley, I'd also like to mention my dear friend Lenny. It was a pleasure marching in the parades with him. You have to give him props to being a veteran and making the effort. As sick as he was, he still tried and was there for every event, and I will miss him dearly. So if we could have another moment of silence for Len. Thank you. That's all I have tonight.
Thank you very much. And Madam Clerk, you have anything at all tonight?
Thank you, Supervisor Keating. The Town Clerk's monthly report for April 2020 has been submitted to the Supervisor's Office. The St. John the Baptist Roman Catholic Church will be having a chicken barbecue on Friday, this Friday, May 22nd, from noon to 6 p.m. or until they're sold out. That is $11. And the Boston Fire Company chicken barbecue will be Sunday, May 24th, from 11 a.m. till sold out. That is $10, and that is a drive-through for that. And like I said before, I don't want to get emotional again, but of course, it was disappointing not being able to plan the Memorial Day parade and service. But certainly do take a look around and see what the Parks Department has done with the flags that are put up in town and the grounds that are with the that have been manicured in the back of the town park. And it was a pleasure to meet with the former commander this evening, one of the members from our past VFW post that we had here in Boston. So I met with them tonight, and they placed the wreaths in the back of the park at the David Finger Memorial, along with the other around town, the Boston Commons, and the flags in the cemeteries. So I will get those pictures to Allison for the website. And that is really all that I have. So this Memorial Day, just in remembrance of our veterans that have given so much, the ultimate sacrifice of their lives for us. Thank you. That's all I have.
Well said. Thank you very much. All right. I just have a few things. The good news is that now that we're into phase one, the discussion is that soon enough we'll all be able to get haircuts. I don't need to worry about it too much, but on today's call that essentially these salons, et cetera, whether it's a salon, barbershop, they're expected to be allowed in phase two. Erie County, the public has probably seen some press from the county executive in regards to masks that were distributed to all municipalities. The county procured what they referred to as a surgical mask. What they did is they took the population for the municipality, cut that number in half, and then they provided half the quantity of the population to each municipality. So the town of Boston has a little over 4,000 masks at the moment. We've been reaching out to the local parishes and our senior population. Essentially, the masks are not for everyone. That was, I don't have the exact reasoning. It was just something that the county executive had rolled out with Erie County Emergency Services, but we do have masks at the town hall. There's been quite a few calls that have come in, but Chris, from the Hamburg Sun, if you wouldn't mind putting in the paper that the town hall does have masks, and they can certainly, any resident that is in need, whether it's a senior population or a family that's in need of masks, it is only one per person. Unfortunately, they are disposable, so they're not a cloth mask that will last a long period of time, but we do have these for people in need, and happy to get these in people's hands as they need them. We have one report that came in from National Grid. There were some culverts that needed to be replaced in the community on the main transmission lines that run across, in conjunction with the old railroad bed and kind of outside of that area. But a few of the culverts have been replaced, which is really nice to hear and see, because we certainly have drainage in our community with two hills and a valley. So National Grid, I've reported on this a couple of times. I reached out to them 3 years ago, and they're finally making some forward progress getting those culverts replaced. And so we actually have some proper drainage, and hopefully that water's not spilling out onto people's properties anymore. Spectrum the area of cable TV. Spectrum is going to be taking another look at our community. Councilwoman Lukacek and I don't want to overstep on her liaison assignment, but we had a very good conversation with Spectrum earlier in the week, and they're going to try to take a pretty good look at an area of our community that does not have internet. Here we are in 21st century, May 2020, and I think this pandemic really has addressed the fact on how important internet and high-speed internet, quality high-speed internet, is to the communities. I mean, we have children doing school from home. Many of us on this call are working from home. And anyway, we will continue to push to try to get the internet for these residents. It's a smaller area. The good news is most of the town over the past few years has received a pretty substantial build-out. We're more than three-quarters percent served, I'll say. There's just a few small pockets left, so we will continue to work on that for our residents. But it was a great conversation, and hopefully we can get the residents some internet over there. And Councilman Cardichini had brought up mobile food pantry will be May 28th over in Colden at the Colden Fire Department. Stay tuned to the town website and social media for those flyers. We're also going to try to post some at like Tops and other establishments throughout the community where people frequently go to gather, shop, get gas, etc., and so they know about these services for our people. From the county side of things, the 2020 census, that is still going on. People can fill out the census online. We've had a very, very good rate on people filling out the census this time around, which is great. That's money into our communities, whether it's the county and or local government. So if you have not completed your 2020 census, I highly encourage you to go out and fill out your census. The elevator replacement that's going on at the town hall, that's actually made some pretty good progress. We're at the stage where the old elevator is out, the new walls and pump are slowly going in, and the physical elevator that's there, that will be delivered probably in the next couple of weeks. So while we're on a pause, it's a great time to get this elevator replaced for our residents in town for ADA accessibility. I've worked with the Erie County Sheriff Deputy who handles the drug instrument drop boxes at the town hall. I wanted to wait until the board meeting tonight, but we are going to open those up on an appointment based only. Throughout the pause order, we have unfortunately had to turn some residents away. But we're now that the green light has been given that we can open those back up. They'll be appointment based only, and residents can bring their syringes and expired pharmaceuticals to the town hall just like they did in the past. And that's not just personal pharmaceuticals, that's also for pets. So if you have a pet that, whether the pet is diabetic or the pet has, you know, unused pet meds, that can also be provided there. And again, with the current pause order, I don't think it could be any more important to keep some of these expired or other addictive pharmaceuticals off the streets. So I'm very happy to hear that news from the county sheriff. Really good news, tennis courts. The governor gave the green light to open up tennis courts. Anybody that plays tennis will see that we did not open up all three because of social distancing, but we do have two tennis courts opened up. As soon as the town receives more direction from the state that we can bring back other sports, the community has our word that we will continue to open up more. So come on out, enjoy some tennis. Today we had some people playing catch in the park. It was kind of nice to see, but baseball, I don't want to be kind of end on a down note, but right now, per the governor's orders, basketball, playground equipment, swings, baseball, and soccer all still remain as a non-essential gathering. So unfortunately, those sports are essentially on hold, and many parents already know this because they've probably been contacted by their local governments that these things have all been canceled essentially for the remainder of the season, sadly. And last but not least, it's called the Heroes Act. There's a couple things going on, but many of the supervisors and mayors and myself, of course, we've been working with Senator Schumer and Congressman Reed on this Heroes Act, and also direct aid funding to municipalities. Hopefully, it'll gain some traction. We'll see how it goes. There's a lot of other working parts in this bill for the next round of stimulus. As soon as there's more information, I'll be happy to share that. Obviously, nothing is official until the federal government approves it. But it does look like that with all the multiple streams of lost revenue, hopefully there might be some direct aid to the municipalities. So we have NICOM, which is the New York Conference of Mayors, and we also have the Association of Towns that have also been assisting us with this mission. So and again, hopefully we can get through this pandemic relatively unscathed, because the guidance and some of the press releases that even the New York State Comptroller's Office has been providing, you know, that the numbers are pretty staggering and lost revenue. And it's not just our state, obviously, it's every state. So more information on that coming, and I'll be happy to share that as I receive it. Outside of that, the only other thing I will add, which is another uptick, I have received quite a few calls on this, but religious services are now okay. There's a caveat here. While religious services can resume, they have to be 10 people or less, and also all participants must wear masks. They must practice social distancing measures. I'm sorry. And then drive-in and parking lot services are going to be allowed, and that actually takes effect as of tomorrow, Thursday. So I know that's something that's been, I guess we'll call it a hot topic at the moment. I received calls. Unfortunately, it has nothing to do with the local government. The reason why this information comes from local government is because the governor, quite frankly, says that who is responsible for enforcing these things, and it's local government. So while the governor creates the guidelines and the rules, we're the ones responsible for enforcing it. So we'll continue to push and try. Many of the board members said exactly what I'm feeling and how my sentiments are. We got to get back to some kind of normal and kind of start living our lives a little bit every once in a while. So we'll get there. So please bear with us. Please be patient. We will do everything we can to work with our residents in the town of Boston. So that is all I have for tonight. Thank you for your time. I'll make a motion to end the meeting.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Selby?
Yes.
Councilman Tornatino?
Yes.
Supervisor Keating?
Yes.
Councilwoman Lukacik?
Yes.
Councilwoman Martin?
Yes.
Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.